child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad, you know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then.
You know. Why, from the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph Erdo and Eric Reinert. We're missing two people, it seems.
Where are they?
I know. Greg will be here a little bit later. Trisha will not be here today. She is going to be... She's on assignment.
And don't forget your... Where's Papa? Papa?
Papa, that's Papa? Like from Shane, where the movie goes, Shane,
Papa,
right?
Smurf.
Daddy?
Oh, Papa Smurf.
Father?
They.
Dada?
That's right. This is Father. I'm your daddy.
No, you're not.
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy? Hey, 602-252-1480. Who's your daddy?
That's a good one. Eric, I'm probably not your daddy.
I don't think so, Dave. We don't look too much alike.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, you're much more handsome.
Oh, yeah, right. I doubt that, but
this song, of course, is the quintessential father song, because this is our Father's Day show. Cat Stevens is singing us into the show. Cat's in the Cradle.
It's not Cat Stevens.
Who is it?
It's I'll look it up, but it's not Cat Stevens.
It's not Cat. I thought it was too. This is one of my favorite songs, by the way, Joseph, and you didn't even know that.
I didn't know it.
I just love this song. It's
the cat's in the cradle in the silver spoon.
You know, it sort of typifies America, right? Don't you think?
Chapin. This is Harry Chapin.
Yeah, you're okay. Right. It is Harry Chapin.
I don't know. Well, you know,
I think he passed away.
I know you're only like 12, 16 years old. I don't know.
And he looks like less.
I know movies. I don't know music. And this song isn't from a particular movie, and that's why I don't know it.
And Harry Chapin had a brother that was also a musician and singer.
Really?
His name, though.
Wow, was it Larry Chapin?
Yeah, Harry and Larry.
Harry and Larry and Minnie and Moe. Anyway, yeah, that's my line. Anyway, so that is a great song. It's a full of meaning, great lyrics.
It makes people cry. I've known a lot of people who cry and they think of their fathers. And,
yeah.
You know, so we are celebrating all of our fathers out there, not our founding fathers, in a couple weeks on our Independence Day special.
Why aren't they included in Father's Day?
We can't give them 2 days. Just today is just the normal everyday fathers who go out there and provide for all of us and learn, teach us how to play catch. And
my father never taught me to play catch.
Wow, that's nice. I'm not your daddy then.
No.
Eric's father, give us a call.
I'm sure you're happy the Kings won, right?
Oh, my gosh, that was incredible. We're going to talk all about that.
I know you're
going to
save that for the sports.
Yeah, real hockey. But thank you for mentioning.
What's going on?
No, that's definitely deserving of a shout-out, Eric.
And some famous coach died, too, from the Steelers.
Oh, what, Chuck Noll?
I don't know. But I just heard that on the way in.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to have to check that out. The only coach I know is Chuck Noll, I hope.
Supposedly he brought the Steelers to the Super Bowl many times.
Oh, no, it might be Chuck Noll. I'm going to check this out right now as we're speaking.
Look it up.
And here we go. Chuck Noll. I hope not. I hope no one dies, but let's see.
I hope no
Chuck
one dies.
Chuck Noll.
He did. It was Noll.
Oh, at 82, this is not right.
No.
So you were right, David. It's Noll.
Oh, that's sad, though.
Moment of silence.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to his family, of course. Terry Bradshaw was during that era and great quarterback. But we'll talk about that probably at Breakthrough Sports. But thank you, Eric, for bringing up the Kings. What a celebration. We'll talk all about that real hockey talk because what a phenomenal team this is.
Yeah. It went into double overtime.
Oh, incredible.
Must have been a tight race there.
Really tight, really exciting Kings phenomenal team. So,
aren't you amazed that I actually knew that?
I am. How did you all of a sudden convert to sports?
Oh, I just was listening to KJZZ on the way in.
Hey.
You were listening
I'm not supposed to say that.
What? A different station?
You were listening to KPHX, 1480
Yeah, because we weren't on.
The only station on the air.
We weren't on?
We were not on, so I was listening to
I guess that's okay.
How are you going to listen to us if we're on the air?
He does. He's
behind the glass.
I'm listening right now, Joseph.
Yeah.
Oh, keep your ears
open. It's live. No, he does.
Oh, okay.
See, I listen to the show live every Saturday.
And also, you sometimes listen to the replays.
I do, actually, yes.
And they're pretty good.
Yes, Kathleen and I will sit by the pool and have a cocktail while listening to Breakthrough Entertainment.
Nice.
Now, let's tell the truth. Who's the funniest?
All of us.
All of us. Okay, good political answer. He's running for president. Okay.
Hashtag more singing.
Wow, how about that? Not that we're a political show, but how about that Eric Cantor? Gone.
Bye-bye.
Wow, that's interesting, huh?
Tea party.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Oh, sorry, Joseph.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Hi. This is an entertainment show, but yeah, the next 3 hours we're going to be talking about entertainment.
Okay.
That's
you
true.
Can get your political stuff the rest of the week and your sports in 3 hours from now.
And it is good political stuff. Excellent lineup.
All right. Joseph's in control. He put the show together. Let's hear from
him. Let's hear from Joseph.
Hello.
Jay Erdo. Did I say it right?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay.
And then he doesn't say anything.
I was trying to wait to see how long the ooh is going to last.
Oh,
no,
Joseph.
It is a very
Jay
exciting show.
Erdo.
It's a very exciting Erdo show. No.
Okay.
No, it is our Father's Day special.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because we had our Mother's Day special a few weeks ago.
How was
a month
it?
Ago. You were here, weren't you?
Oh, I was?
Yeah, I believe so.
Can't remember. No, I was.
You
weren't? Yeah, I was.
No, I don't remember.
I think I
it
was.
It doesn't matter because this time we're going to be celebrating fathers instead.
Father's Day.
All of our songs today are from movies and TV shows about fathers.
Except the first song.
Well, that wasn't from a movie, yeah.
Or a TV show.
It was just a quintessential father song.
So I did.
Brings a tear
to the
eye.
I got one on you on this one.
Okay, yeah.
One nothing.
But, you know, we've got a daddy blogger on. He's not just a daddy blogger.
No.
Though.
He worked with Adam Sandler for a while.
Yes, he is.
7 years.
He is the former television and comedy development executive for Adam Sandler and Chelsea Handler and, you know,
oh,
other people.
Well, then I'll blame him for them not being funny.
Oh.
Well, we're going to find out. We're gonna have a belated review of Blended, which is an Adam Sandler movie, probably at the end of today's show. So stay tuned for that. We'll find out if that's
funny.
An improvement on Adam Sandler's other
I like
stuff.
Adam Sandler.
I like him when he's not dressed as a
Adam
woman.
Adam Sandler.
Or,
oh, that movie. Yeah, the sister.
Or other people. Yeah.
Well, he usually plays
awful.
Other people.
I got about 15 minutes into that movie before I ejected the disc.
Yeah. So we'll see if that's any good. And, of course, we're going to be talking about a new movie that you can help fund. It's called Glow.
I saw the
animated film.
Information on that.
Yeah.
What is it, on Kickstarter? Or?
It's on Kickstarter, yeah. And they need, I think, $125,000.
Yeah.
So we're going to
No,
see
not
can,
anymore. I
not
contributed.
Anymore?
They just now need $124,999.
Very good. Excellent.
What do you get for the dollar, Dave? I mean, they have to return a favor to you.
He's going to be on the air. That's what he is.
Yeah. I get to be on. I get to be the voiceover of the production at the end when I say, that's all, folks.
In a world where people are animated.
Exactly. It looked interesting, though, but we'll get into that.
That's all.
So you do voices.
No, sometimes. We'll see. But, yeah. So
he sings.
Sing. Yeah. And, of course,
we need to talk.
We're going to be... Okay.
Hey, look, Greg's not here. You can sing all you want.
Yeah. We'll see how... Yeah, I'm excited. Well, we'll talk about a lot of other movies coming out as well, including How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Yeah.
And,
I hear that's supposed to be good.
I've seen it. I'll let you know. Some other movies we'll talk about later as well. But, you know, in a few moments, we will talk about our highlight film of the week.
Oh, what's
Obvious
that?
Child.
It's not that obvious to me.
They
tried to blame me. I said, no, I didn't even know her.
Okay, all right. Well,
right, Eric? I mean,
that's what I always say.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, really?
Yeah.
And then
Billie
Jean
is not my kid.
Well, if
whatever that
song is. I said she looks sort of familiar.
If the glove don't fit, must acquit.
Oh, that's right.
Whoa.
Oh.
Oh, no.
You're going there, huh?
Oh,
if the glove does fit, it's certainly not mine.
What did you do with the glove?
Oh, that was funny, right? Okay, maybe not.
All right. So,
just because you can't hear me laughing because my mic is turned off.
Oh, that's what.
Well.
Oh, I'm getting.
Yeah,
a
why
phone
are you getting
call.
Texts? You're getting phone calls, and I'm getting.
People
texts.
Know I'm on the air, and they still call me. What's up with that? I don't.
Well, I've got a lot of people listening.
You do?
This
How many?
Morning. I don't know. A
Thousands.
Bunch of them. You know, everyone that was out there partying. Remember, I celebrated my friend's parties.
No.
My birthday.
Oh, you had a party for a friend's parties?
Yes.
You had a party?
Talking too fast.
Had a party for a party.
It was too exciting. That was the problem. No.
You're breathing heavy now. Eric, can we switch places? I want to be.
No, I like it in my room.
I want to be behind the bulletproof glass.
My friends Shannon and Danny. You've met Danny.
Danny's very nice.
Yes, and you know Shannon's great as well.
I think I've seen a picture of her. Right?
They both listen to the show every week. And
yeah, religiously.
So I threw a birthday party for them. And
you did? Both had the same birthday together?
Well, it was within a week of each other.
Okay, so that's sort of nice of you.
Party, yeah.
Well, birthdays usually last a week anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And, you know, first we... I
talk to Kathleen. She'll tell you differently.
Yeah, is it her birthday? Did I miss it?
No, but I mean, she always likes to take a whole week for her birthday.
That's... I like it. Then a present every day. So that's a certain religion.
No presents, just birthday.
Oh. No. Well, of course...
She has a menorah named after her.
She does?
Yeah. Eight gifts every night.
Oh, that's Christmas or what are they called? Hanukkah.
Yeah, Hanukkah.
Well, I want to give a
why don't we do Hanukkah songs?
I don't know. We could do that.
Dreidel?
I love stumping him.
We'll consider that. But it's our Father's Day show.
Oh, yes.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
But I just want to give a big shout out, Hala, and all that stuff to
Hala.
Nicole over at the Lucky Strike Bowling.
That's a cool place.
Yeah, because it was their birthday.
Did you get some Lucky Strikes going Nicole?
I was horrible. I was horrible. But Nicole hooked us up.
Is that what Nicole said?
Nicole hooked us. Let me talk. Nicole hooked us up with free shoe rentals because it was Danny and Shannon's birthday.
That's nice. Nicole, thank you. Yeah. Who is Nicole?
She was the manager over there at Lucky Strike Bowling. So
yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, even though I was absolutely horrible. Yeah, I'm gonna get those bumpers.
What were your What was your score? Give me your score.
I think it was
25.
It was like 30.
Oh my gosh,
like 33.
Really? Gutter balls all the way.
And Danny's was like a 64 or something like that.
Oh, that's pathetic.
And Shannon, she had a lot of strikes. I will just say that.
Her first game was probably like 38. Her second game was 24. Her third game was probably like 38.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you had the bumpers in the gutters?
No, I'm saying I need those. Otherwise,
I don't think anyone got that. 38, 24, 38. Okay.
I don't know.
What's my high score, Eric, in bowling?
248.
No, 205, yeah. No, not my weight, but my...
Oh,
no, 205 was my high score. What do you think of that, Eric? I mean, Joseph.
Hi, I'm Joseph.
How yeah.
You're looking
that's
at
good, right?
Yeah, that is good. That's excellent.
Very good. Sir.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's a professional bowler.
Well, Shannon was trying to teach me how... I was crossing over my arm, my body with my arm, I don't know, something like that.
So she was trying to teach you. Did she come from behind and slowly move your arms and hips in the right place?
Yes, it was very sexy.
No, we're talking bowling.
Oh, well, you know, was also what was sexy was when we went to the Deuce afterward. We went
the
dancing.
The
Deuce. The Deuce. You've never been to the Deuce?
I never
heard Where is it? What's it called?
The Deuce. Over,
oh, it's lucky he doesn't have a lip.
It's like down the street from here, actually.
From where?
From here.
Oh, from here to Eternity? So what did you do at the Deuce?
No, there's dancing. They've got a lot of games. You play that sandbag game. And
never heard of that.
No.
Sandbag. What? I heard this song.
Called, cornhole. Cornhole.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We were dancing, and then but the unfortunate part is we had a big group, and one of my friends really wanted to embarrass me. She knew that I I recognized a woman from one of the news channels. I'm not going to say which news channel.
Oh, wow.
But she's on one of the morning shows. And
April Warnicke.
No. She's I'm not going
to. Kaylee O'Kelly.
I don't want to say her name because no, it's not her. But I don't want to say. But you're on the right station. I'm not going to say.
I don't even know what station.
Javier Soto.
No, it was a woman. It was a woman, and she was dressed very nice. She's a very attractive.
Isn't Javier a woman?
No. Well, we're not going to do that. We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there. But this woman is. She's a very attractive woman, and I, you know, was just pointed her out to my friends, and my friend was acting like I was starstruck. She tried to embarrass me in front of this lady, but the lady, you know, she didn't want to take a photo and all this stuff because she was making like I was starstruck and that I was like, you know, in love with her. Fortunately,
you mean the person from the news?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
she's obviously got a very big ego.
No, not her. My friend made it seem like that.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the other woman.
No, yeah. One of my friends did this. She was like trying to make. I don't know if she was making fun of me, but she was just like making a character out of me because I'm not like this all the time. This is just on the air.
It is?
Yes.
How are you otherwise?
Very serious. Very,
you are?
Very cool. You know, I Little Mermaid them all. I just like don't talk and stuff.
You wear like a brimmed hat dipped over your eye and you got a cigar.
Exactly.
He's like a detective.
I go out and I say, hey, baby.
Yeah, he does. I've seen him do that.
You've seen
him
do that.
That's why there's slap marks all over his face.
You know, I've got a radio show up there on KPHX 1480.
That's sounds right. like John Wayne, but not.
That's right.
So, see, the audience loves it too.
Yeah.
Is that your audience that you brought?
No. I think they came from elsewhere.
I think they're high.
But yeah, I do want to give props to this news anchor because she was very respectful. She came up. She was very nice.
She recognized you as a very famous person.
No, she. I apologized for my friend, and she was very nice. And you know, I'm just gonna say. That things go crazy when I'm with this group of people, but I love this group of people. Big shout out to my
Shannon
friends,
and Danny.
My friends Jim and Emily today, they are listening as well, and so big shout out to them. And yeah, because they just watched
What's
Frozen.
What's in your wallet?
I don't know. And speaking of Frozen, I want to talk about Frozen for a second.
I thought we reviewed that.
Yes, we did. But remember, Frozen is my duck as well. My pet duck, Frozen.
Oh, you're talking about your duck, not
yes,
the movie.
Yes, my pet duck, Frozen. Yesterday was his third birthday.
Oh, wow.
He turned 3 years old.
Oh, my God. He's only got a few years left.
No, he doesn't.
You said they live till five.
I looked it up. I said seven, but they live to be 8 or 10. But Frozen's going to beat them all because he is a really awesome duck. And He got a present. He got like a plush corn on the cob with a face on it. He's scared to death of it because corn on the cob is not supposed to have a big smile and eyes and all that stuff.
But wait a minute. So he plays with dog toys? I mean, they don't make duck toys.
Well, they don't. So what do you want me to do? Make them?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you start that business?
I should. You're right.
If you're a good daddy, you would make them for him.
Who's your daddy? Yeah. That's right. But
don't
I
you
am
have a sewing
daddy.
Machine?
Yes, I do.
I knew it.
But I am Frozen's daddy. And,
yeah. Who's
the
mommy, by the way?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The egg. We already did this on our one
oh, we did?
Shows, on our Easter show. What came first, the duck or the egg?
Some type of bank.
A bank? What? Oh, gosh. Okay, I get it now. Okay. Careful there. Well, anyway, I am going to the release pool party after this over
Who?
At Talking Stick.
What?
Release pool party.
What's a release?
Don't ask.
You don't want to know. We'll see if we can explain that next week. It could go one way or the other.
Is that our sex show?
Yeah.
When is our sex show?
It's in like a couple months.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. But,
I have to wait that long.
But I'm going out there, and I'm going to check out all the Scottsdale ladies in their bikinis over
so
there.
So there's a pool party
right?
at Talking Stick.
What? Yeah. At the casino. They got a big pool over there.
And what do you do? Just go there? Do you have to? Is a cover charge or an uncover charge?
Most of the time, there's no cover charge.
No cover.
If you say that you're there with me, then there's no cover charge.
Oh wow! No. Oh,
maybe.
That,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, you shouldn't. That's Joseph speaking.
Yeah,
it's not our official position, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Well, let's move on to our first movie.
Oh, this is a movie show.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Right. I just wanted to share.
Don't
all
say
that,
obvious so. Child.
It is look, obvious.
And
child.
And don't blame me for it.
Why not? Okay. Well, Jenny Slate, you know who she is, right?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. No.
No.
She was fired from Saturday Night Live for saying a word that we can't say on the air here.
Oh, wow.
Well,
really?
She wasn't fired for that reason, but she did that and people associated with that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Why was she fired?
Yeah.
Because she probably wasn't very funny at the time.
She looked funny in the trailer.
Okay, well, we'll see. Well, in the movie, she plays a stand-up comedian whose unplanned pregnancy forces her to confront the realities of independent womanhood for the first time. What'd you think of the trailer, Dave?
Well, the trailer, it absolutely looked funny. It looked meaningful. It looked sweet and touching at the same time.
Touching what?
I'm not sure who was touching who, but I also thought it looked a little weird. The characters looked a little strange to me.
Yeah.
But the trailer ended before I can get the full analysis complete on the couch, psychoanalysis, dealing in depth in the recesses of their mind.
Wow, this is. But you know the movie.
What's a recess?
Recesses?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, I like
recesses.
Reese's is a peanut butter.
I like
cup.
The ones
oh,
that are
I was
like
thinking
the two
of peanut
pounders,
butter.
The big 2-pounder Reese's cups. Yeah, those
right,
are
that takes like a year to eat.
Oh.
Yeah, they do. Well,
you did it in one day?
Oh, okay. No, maybe not. We'll see. We'll see. All right.
So that was my analysis of the trailer. So let's see. I'm going to say you liked it.
Well, yeah. Okay. So some moviegoers are undoubtedly going to be appalled with Obvious Child for one reason.
What?
It deals with abortion, right? It deals very freely, you know, very nonchalantly applies the topic of abortion. You know, that she's doing, and you know, there's some groups out there who are going to be like, you know, upset about this, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
yeah.
Because how dare she? But you know what? Fact of the matter is, abortion is a choice. That's one of the choices that women have when
this is not a political show.
Right. This is not a political show. I'm not making a statement. I'm just saying that, you know, some people might be appalled with that.
Oh.
I wasn't appalled with it. It was like I said, it's just a matter of fact. That's what it is. And, you know, that grounding is in reality is actually one of the New Romantic comedy's two most admirable traits, the other being its heartfelt approach and its reflection of relationships in modern times. Jenny Slate has a really neat relationship with I forget the actor's name, but he played Plop on The Office, the last couple seasons of The Office.
Never watched it.
Okay. Me neither.
All right, I'm sorry. And but you know, despite several scenes centered at the stand-up comedy place, Jenny Slate, you know, does some of these stand-up comedy routines. Not funny at all. I did not laugh even once. They're actually annoying. They make her character seem obnoxious. And, you know, she's I would say that Jenny Slate was fired from Saturday Night Live because she is inherently unlikable. I do not like her.
Wow. I don't like her just looking at her.
I don't like her. I don't. Yeah, exactly. She was in one of the Chipmunks movies, Alvin and the Chipmunks. She was absolutely horrible. She ruined the movie. And that's saying a lot.
That is, because those are ridiculous.
Exactly. So,
and is she going to be calling in anytime
soon?
No,
she won't be. She won't be. But
she's not the 1025 phone call?
No, she's not.
I think she was, and now she's not.
Well, she was in town, I think, at the Phoenix Film Festival.
She was?
She was, yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see her. But
that's okay. We talked to Leah Thompson.
What do you mean, unfortunately? You just went off on her, and now you're saying, unfortunately, we didn't get to see her?
Well, I don't know.
That's an obvious child. Okay.
Obvious child. But, you know, I will. So what do you think? Am I giving the movie a thumbs up or thumbs
down? Sounds like a thumbs down, except unless the whole concept of the story outweighed her performance.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, I knew you real well.
The movie itself is authentically charming.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, relatable and realistic and all that stuff.
Which thesaurus do you use?
Thesaurus.com.
Oh, is that a good one?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you like that. I don't even know that one.
Yeah, but and I actually do. But Jenny Slate, I would give her performance a thumbs down.
Wow.
But, you know, maybe she's not all that horrible because the movie is actually pretty good. So I'm giving Obvious Child a thumbs up. I do recommend you going out in there and checking it out, especially if you're
just
into
romantic
comedies.
Just close your eyes
when
Jenny comes on the screen.
No, she's not horrible. I would just say that the movie could have been like it could have been a breakthrough had there been a different actress.
Oh my.
She's not very likable and she's not very funny in my opinion.
But maybe that was her role as an actress and she played it perfectly.
No. No, that's
what the director directed her to do.
Yeah, it's possible.
Maybe.
Here's the direction. Make everybody hate you.
Yeah, what if that was the case and
she's
magnificent?
She's just annoying. She's, you know, you can't get up on stage and announce that you are going to have an abortion in front of the guy, you know, who's the daddy.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why can't
that
you do that?
That just sounds terrible.
I know,
that's bad form.
But maybe that's how the writer wrote it.
That is how the writer wrote it. But
so do you blame the writer then?
No, I don't.
Right, Eric? Yeah, you blame the
writer. And the director.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you've seen Obvious Child, give us a call, 602-252-1480.
I memorized this already.
602-252-1480.
Yeah.
So you know, maybe you have a different opinion on Obvious Child or Jenny
Where
Slate.
Where is it playing?
I believe it's...
It's Obvious.
Yeah, it's Obvious, child.
Oh, I'm a child now.
Yeah, but no, I think it's over at the Camel View.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, or it might be a few other places as well. I'm not sure, but it is a limited release. But I do highly recommend you checking it out because it is a very likable movie, especially for a romantic comedy. And, you know, most of these romantic comedies are kind of unrealistic. This one is actually very realistic. It's grounded in reality. You can relate to the situations and stuff like that. So
excellent.
That is what sets it apart from some of the others.
So tonight, if you have nothing to do, Obvious Child.
Or you could check out one of the other movies that we'll talk about later in the show.
Yeah.
So we
don't
will
make
have
a
to,
decision yet.
Right, don't make a decision yet. We've still got about 2.5 hours to go, but we will take a break. And the song from Obvious Child is going to take us into this break. This is Paul Simon singing us The Obvious Child from Obvious Child.
He wrote the music?
Well, this is an older song, right?
Lies. Oh, let me think.
Why
about
did not the obvious child?
No, I've never heard
Why
of that. Anyway, this is 1480 AM KPHX live in Phoenix, Arizona. Breakthrough
Party!
Entertainment. We'll be right back.
And we said these songs are true. These days are ours. These tears are free. The cross is in the ballpark. Crosses in the ballpark. We had a lot of fun, had a lot of money. We had a little song we thought we called Sunny.
Are you a restaurant owner who panics if your AC goes down in the dog days of summer? Extreme Cooling finds that equipment usually breaks down unnecessarily, costing restaurant owners time and money. For this reason, Extreme Cooling promotes and specializes in proactive service plans designed specifically to keep all of your refrigeration equipment operating properly, as designed, all year long. Extreme Cooling is here to help you with all of your refrigeration needs, knowing that saving money is your top concern. Our number is 623-810-8513. When you want to start saving money, call Extreme Cooling. Do you suffer from not having enough fun? We could take care of that. Pino's Palette is the upscale paint and bring your own beverage studio located off of Tatum and Shea. We're a group painting class where you can bring your own alcohol or non-alcoholic beverage, and our trained artists will lead you through step by step in recreating the featured painting of the night. No art experience necessary. Drink in one hand and paintbrush in another. We are a great night out for any occasion. Pino's Palette. Paint, drink, and have fun.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
More than 60,000 people are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease each year, thousands of them here in the Valley. Thankfully, one of the nation's top treatment facilities is located in the heart of Phoenix, the Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center. Parkinson Network of Arizona raises funds to help patients and families receive the crucial educational and activity-based classes offered through the center. 1480 and Parkinson Network of Arizona invite you to become involved and make a difference in the lives of those with Parkinson's. Go online to ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org to find out about upcoming events, including the largest Parkinson's walk in the state, Walk the Fight, and learn how your donation stays local to provide life-changing opportunities. Once again, that's ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Good morning, USA. I got a feeling that it's gonna be a wonderful day. The sun in the sky.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live here at 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. That sounds like a Broadway song.
Sounds like Seth MacFarlane.
Which one is that? Yeah, it is Seth MacFarlane. Good morning, Arizona.
Oh, that's very cool.
No, Good Morning, USA. That's a different show.
Oh, I love Seth MacFarlane. He sings that one?
Yeah.
What's the title of it?
American Dad. That's the theme song to American Dad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I haven't seen that, but I love Family Guy.
Yeah, well, actually,
one of my favorites.
American Dad, actually, most of the time is funnier
is
than
it really?
Family Guy.
Oh, I should watch it then, huh?
Yeah. I think so.
American Who's Your Daddy?
Whoa. And you've got Roger the Alien on there. And
don't know him.
No.
And who else?
Haley, the
Haley.
Daughter.
Haley's Comet. I love Haley's Comet.
Yeah, very good, very good.
And
Stan Smith, Francine.
Stand By Your Smith.
No, no.
Okay.
And Klaus the
Stan's
Fish.
Burgers.
Stan's Burgers. Is that a, hey, I
that's
tried
another show.
I
that's
tried Freddy's Steak Burgers
Bob's
the other day.
Oh, is it
Bob's Burgers? That's actually that's
oh,
actually
that's
the best
Bob's
show on
too,
Fox.
Right?
No, Bob's Big Boy.
I don't think so.
Is that a Seth MacFarlane thing?
No, that's a different person.
What about Bob's Big Boy?
Way off. Bob's Big Boy. Yummy.
Have you tried Freddy's Steak Burgers?
No.
I tried it.
Where's that? Where do you get those?
They're throughout, right? Have you seen them?
Yeah,
throughout
you can't talk about this unless you actually bring it in and we can try it.
Oh, yeah,
on the
we
air,
should.
Though.
We should do a taste test.
Yeah, we need
actually,
a taste.
Actually, that's
taste
a good
test.
Idea.
Yeah, or you can just go out and grill with your dad this weekend because it is Father's Day tomorrow.
Wow, that's going to be exciting, right?
Yeah, yeah, and of course that's why we played the theme song to American Dad coming into this segment because it is a American Dad. Dad is right there in the title.
Do you think they have Father's Day in other countries?
I doubt it.
I think it's
Hallmark invented it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Did they really?
They
invented Grandpa's Day and they Secretary Day and
well, forget this. We're changing
Xmas
the entire
and
theme.
Easter
Secretary's Day
and all that stuff.
They have Mistress Day too.
Mistress Day.
Yeah.
Ooh,
nice.
I like that TV show Mistresses on ABC.
Oh, how's that? I didn't see that.
It's never good. Heard
of it. Oh,
it's got.
What's it about?
It's got the girl from
Mistresses.
Who's the Boss.
Who's the boss?
The girl.
Usually
the
wives
the
are the boss.
What?
Wives.
Wives?
Hey, we should do a game show.
I don't watch that show, Wives.
Oh. Frozen is his boss.
Yes,
oh,
Frozen's
yeah.
my boss, yeah.
I haven't met Frozen yet.
Well, you'll have to meet him someday.
You should bring him in studio.
Well, he'd be quacking the whole time.
So what?
I know. We need some quack up.
Well, but he also wasn't invited to the release pool party, and I'm going straight there afterward, and you know. I don't know if they'd like him swimming around in the casino pool.
Oh, well, that'd be awesome.
I think
it would be, yeah.
We could film it.
Yeah, put a little bikini on him.
Does he have his wings
bikini,
clipped?
Bikini, he's a guy.
I know, but what is he? What?
Are his wings clipped?
He can't fly. Runner ducks can't fly. He runs.
So he can't get away from you.
Right. He can't fly.
Can he have babies?
He can jump and then like fly like
can he have
a
babies?
Short distance, but
what
he can't fly.
What kind of duck is that?
How about babies?
He's a runner duck.
So
that's
he can't fly south for the winter.
Exactly.
He can run. Can he have babies?
No, he can't have babies.
Why
can you?
Not? That's okay. No, because you might want Frozen one
I'm
day.
Betting Dave can.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
call in 602. No, because don't you want a little grand duck?
I do.
Grand duckling.
Oh, but he can't.
Grand duckling. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's cue up our interview if you want to get them on the line for Obvious Child.
Oh, I have to call somebody?
No, you have to call them. No.
All right, let me get them on the line.
Yeah, okay. And because we're going to get someone on the line here in just a moment, but we're having a great time. And of course, yes. And we're, Gillian. So,
is that how you say that? Or is it Gillian?
Yeah, you say Gillian. So when you talk to her, when you get her on the phone, call her Gillian.
Right, okay.
And ask if she's ever been on an island.
Right, right. And,
or on the X-Files.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we're celebrating Father's Day today, but we reviewed Obvious Child just a few minutes ago, and I gave it a pretty strong thumbs up.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
And I gave it a trailer.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
And, you want to ask me what's coming up next, Dave?
Yeah, what's coming up next? Oh, the interview, probably.
Well, joining us right now on Breakthrough Entertainment is Gillian Robespierre, writer and director of the new romantic comedy Obvious Child. First of all, Gillian, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let me tell our listeners a little bit about the movie. In it, Jenny Slate plays a stand-up comedian whose unplanned pregnancy forces her to confront the realities of independent womanhood for the first time. So, Gillian, Obvious Child is your very first feature-length film. I see that you've also made a short film with the same title. Is it safe to say that this is an extension of that?
Yes, it's very safe to say that. Obvious Child, the short, was filmed in 2009. Jenny Slate starred in it. She played a character named Donna, so it's very similar to the feature. I wrote it with my friends Anna Bean and Karen Main. And we shot it in 4 days in Brooklyn with no money. Jenny was a real trooper because we used our own clothes, and my bean boots that I lent to her had holes in them. But it was the same story. It's about a girl who gets dumped, has a one-night stand, discovers she's pregnant, and then she has a great first date in an unlikely location. That was our kind of elevator pitch for the short. And it really did well for a short. I don't know how many people watch shorts, but people watched ours, and a lot of great publications wrote about it. The ones that I am really into, like Bust and Jezebel and Feminist Thing. And they linked the short to the articles, and it was really great press for us. And what truly inspired to expand the story was the conversations that people were having in the feeds. And I know you're not supposed to read them, and they always tell creators to just let all of that go and just make a movie that you want to make, which is what we did. But reading the conversations, it really just was so exciting. And it is encouraging, and it made me want to go out and turn this into a feature so more people could see it.
Yeah, and we're very glad that you did. What was your inspiration for the story? Have you or someone else you know gotten an abortion? I mean, I know that that is a sensitive subject, and to our listeners, it sounds like, why would I be asking that? But as Jenny Slate's character says in the movie, once you've had an abortion, you can reveal everyone else who has had one, right?
Donna is not me or Jenny, but Donna is somebody who I think is relatable. Her tone is honest, and, you know, I think we just had this urge and desire to make a story that was about a real woman doing real things and about a choice that we hadn't really seen in movies. They have been on the peripheral, and there's many ways, you know, a woman can deal with unplanned pregnancy. And I think that this choice that we're showing in Obvious Child, it's just something that one in three women will have gone through in their life. And that's a statistic that I read. I'm definitely not an expert. And I think we were just seeking telling an authentic story for this character, for this one woman, not everyone's story.
Okay, yeah, I get that. Being grounded in reality is actually something that I commended it for in my review. Yeah, so tell me about the tonal balance in Obvious Child. As I just said, abortion is a sensitive subject, and you have the typical heartfelt stuff thrown in here, but there's also a lot of unexpected comedy.
You know, I think tragedy and comedy are very close together, and when we sat down to write Donna's tone, you know, it was very similar to the tone that, you know, me and my friends have and the collaborators on this movie. We're you know, kind of funny people, but we're not going to always when big things happen in our lives, sometimes using comedy is not just a deflection, it's actual like medicine. Like, it helps you deal with big and small experiences in your life, and tragic or not so tragic, from getting dumped to, you know, stubbing your toe to, you know, fighting with your parents, all those things. It feels like this character was a naturally funny person, so she's going to be herself no matter what we throw at her. And we threw a lot at her.
Yeah, I think you did. So is the movie been met with any opposition, particularly from, you know, pro-life groups?
Probably. I don't have a Google alert on the film. My producer Elizabeth Holm does, and she's really good at filtering that stuff out. I think it's a good thing, no matter you know, who's talking about it, if they're against it or for it or like the movie or don't like the movie. I'm okay with either side voicing their opinion. What's not okay though is when somebody from the other movement, pro-life movement, will criticize the movie but haven't seen it yet. That's where it's like a little annoying, and I'd rather just not. Those are actually easier to just sort of like brush off in it, because it's clear that they haven't read it. I mean, seen it. Either way, you know, I'm looking forward to a true conversation.
Okay, yeah. I think it opens up the door for dialogue, for sure. So, why Jenny Slate?
I sort of discovered Jenny doing stand-up in a Brooklyn, it's not even a club, it was like a back of a record store. It was a bar that had a tiny little stage and like no AC or heat. It was kind of a dump, but it was really a great dump. And every Wednesday night, they had free comedy, and there she was performing, and she just was this very confessional style of comedy where she was storytelling and telling us as an audience, you know, about growing up in Massachusetts and living in a haunted house, and you know, she was taking us on this ride, and we were laughing and then relating, and I just knew that she could play this role that Anna, Karen, and I had written, which called for somebody who could be funny and have comic timing, but can also act. And we weren't really finding that person. And then when we saw Jenny on stage, it was that, like, light bulb moment where this person who is so charming and gentle and funny has to be in our movie. And luckily, she said yes.
Great, great. So at the end of the day, if viewers were to come away from watching Obvious Child with some sort of general theme, lesson, message, or idea, what do you hope that might be?
I just hope it stays with them the way a John Hughes movie stays with you, or a Woody Allen movie, and you want to watch it again and again, and it's like a your best friend or a song that you like to play on repeat. It just those are really simple answers, but I don't have any lessons. I'm not a teacher, political activist. I'm just a storyteller, and I hope people like this story.
Great, great. Yeah, you know, the flip side of that last question is what you, as the storyteller, took away from the experience making the movie. Did it teach you anything in particular about yourself?
That I'm crazy. No, I learned that that it's important to stay with an idea if you still love it. And even on the days when you might not love it so much and you're really hard on yourself because it's not clicking, that you just have to stick with something. And this is what I wanted to stick with.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, we're really glad that you did. Once again, we want to thank you, Gillian Robespierre, writer and director of Obvious Child, for taking the time to talk with us here on Breakthrough Entertainment. We look forward to having you on the show again soon. And, you know, we really wish you the best of luck with this weekend's release of Obvious Child.
Thanks, you too.
And that was a tremendous interview, Mr. Joseph. You are like the best at this.
Thank you. I know.
I had so many questions for her.
You've got to.
Oh, yeah, I did
were,
too.
You were to my back, though. You've got to knock on the glass next time.
All right.
Hey,
I can't believe you asked her if she had an abortion.
Yeah, I did hear that.
You know, the thing is that that's only appropriate if you see the movie. Then you understand why it's okay to ask that.
I don't think that's appropriate in any way, shape, or form.
Is that why you were laughing? I heard you laughing.
Yes, no, I did laugh when you asked.
You can't hear it through the glass, though.
I know.
Oh, can you?
Oh, I was outside? What? No, I don't know. How did I hear him?
Maybe you heard me when you were getting coffee.
Yeah, maybe when I was getting coffee.
Maybe you have ESP.
I got up when she was talking one of the times and I got coffee.
She was delightful, though. What a great
interview. She was great, and she is a very talented filmmaker. And I know it was kind of a strange question to ask about her abortion. It probably still isn't appropriate. But in the movie, there is a scene where the characters, Jenny Slate says that, she one of her comedy routines, she said, which again, I said, aren't funny. She says that once you have an abortion, you can reveal everyone else who has had an abortion.
I don't understand that.
Oh.
That's ridiculous.
I don't either.
That's
it's
a
not
ridiculous
funny.
Statement.
Yeah.
Is that supposed to be funny?
I think it's supposed to be funny. But
that's not funny.
That's why
no,
I wanted
that's
to
not
see,
funny. I agree with you.
I wanted to see what her reaction was to it since it was, you know, in the movie. And she
wrote
really
it.
And she really didn't laugh about it or anything like that. But she also didn't, like,
she
say
didn't really answer the question.
Exactly. She didn't.
So I almost came in deflected. And say, answer the question.
I know. I should have been more tough about it.
That's
but,
all right.
But
you
yeah.
can't handle the truth.
But I do want to thank Gillian Robespierre for taking
yes.
the time to speak with us.
Very
on Breakthrough
nice.
Entertainment. And so go
and
go
it's
check
a thumbs
out
up
Obvious
anyway.
Child.
So
yeah, it's a thumbs up.
Yeah, watch Obvious Child.
Yeah, and it was playing at the Phoenix Film Festival. We've got another movie that was playing at the Phoenix Film
I
Festival.
I saw that one.
After the break.
Yeah.
You saw it, and so we'll find out what
I think
of that.
Greg saw it too, and I think he might be here to review it.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Well, this is the theme song to Dads, another Seth MacFarlane program, right?
I don't know.
It's got Giovanni Ribisi and Seth Green.
I don't know.
Okay.
Don't know that
Daddy
one.
Took Me to the Zoo by Bogman.
Bogman?
By the way, by the Seth Green is not funny either.
He is hilarious.
No, he's not. There's not.
Well,
one, he doesn't have an ounce of funny in him.
You didn't see A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Okay. Well, I will see that eventually, but
that's a good movie.
I still won't laugh at him. He's everything I see him in. Awful.
Well, Dad's the
he
TV show.
Act.
Dad's the TV show. He's not in it. He created it and all that. It is
like Robot Chicken. He created
it. Started off. Yeah. Seth Green. Yeah. Yeah. He and but Dad's is a great show. At first, it was horrible. Now it's good. But
now
they canceled
it. Better.
They canceled it.
And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Welcome back again, live from 1480 AM Studios at Joseph KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, and that's Eric Reinert that just said, ooh, I can't even do the Joseph Erdo, Jay Erdo.
Yeah,
he's coming back. He was in the hallway screaming, dancing on the table.
Dancing on the table.
And I took his shirt off and swinging it around like you see at football games. And it said,
like those abs?
Yeah, no, I like the letters you put on USC.
I got bit on the pec last week. I just want to say that.
Shannon?
Bitten? Good. I don't know. Good. Not Shannon. No, not Shannon.
Oh, not Danny.
Frozen?
No, not Danny. Not Frozen. Someone else. I'm not going to say her name. But I got bit on, bitten.
Oh, I thought it was an insect bite.
No.
Was it like a hickey?
I got a bite on my pec.
Could it be like,
what?
You still can't score?
What? What?
Like
I don't know what it was, but I had bite marks on there.
Did you know you're being bit as it occurred in person?
She attempted to bite, and then I batted her away.
Why?
And then I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't paying attention.
As they said in Twilight, you could have been turned. You could have lived forever.
I was turned into a ginger. That's what happened.
A gingerbread man?
No, that's what bit me.
Oh, her name's Ginger?
A redhead.
And the professor?
A redhead lady.
How do you know she's
a
redhead?
How did I know that she was redhead?
Yeah,
you
right, Eric? You know what I'm saying.
I'm not blind.
She's older than you?
No. Well, she was older than me, but I just say lady.
And she
I
left a couple teeth in your chest, right?
Some What should I have said? A redheaded female?
Yeah, she opened her mouth so wide.
Sounds like a
wisdom tooth fell out and landed on your chest.
No, I had one of those sticking out of my... Yeah. Anyway,
wow.
That song was the theme song to Raising Hope by The Freelance Economy. It was one of my favorite TV shows while it was on, by the creator of My Name is Earl. You ever watch My Name is Earl?
No, never. No.
Like once.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I loved Raising Hope. It was all about a young father, a single father who raises his kid. And then the song is called Daddy-O.
Hey, do you have a song from that movie with Smith? What's his name? First name? He played Muhammad Ali.
Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith. Remember he played that guy,
that was
single
dad?
Yeah.
That's
a great movie.
Yeah, that's one of my friend and colleague Stan Robinson over at AZ Weekly. That's one of his favorite films. I didn't include that one today. But
that was good. I mean, look at how successful he became. And
The Pursuit of Happiness.
That was very cool. Did you see it, Eric?
Happy was spelled weird.
Yeah,
it was?
That's what I didn't like about it.
Oh. But I know someone named Happy.
Yeah?
It's a girl.
Oh.
I go,
she
are
cute?
You happy?
Really? There's a girl named Happy?
Yeah.
I know a girl named Candy Cane.
My stepson's girlfriend. I go, are you happy with Happy? I love teasing.
Yeah.
I used to know twins named Sunny and Rainy.
Oh.
And I knew twins Hope and Faith.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a Kelly Ripa TV show.
Yeah, I think I went out with one of them.
My awesome aunt. My awesome
I
aunt.
I don't remember. It was. I was hoping to. But then I went back to faith.
Hope, faith, and love. My awesome aunt in Illinois. No, she always writes on all the mail. Hope, faith, and love.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's. Hey, Dave. Do you trust me?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, let's talk about the next movie. Trust me. Clark Gregg plays a struggling agent for child actors.
I don't.
You know. Actually, you know. You don't trust me. Okay. Wow. You know what? Since Greg's not here and he's seen this movie, I'm going to shake things up and we're going to review a different movie.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Lucky Them. We'll talk about Trust Me a little bit later in the show because I know Greg has seen it and he'll want to weigh in. But let's talk about Lucky Them. Toni Collette plays a veteran rock journalist who teams up with an eccentric amateur documentary filmmaker played by Thomas Hayden Church to discover what really happened to a long-lost rock god. You like? Yeah, I've talked to Thomas Hayden Church. I talked to him several years ago.
Very cool.
He was a very interesting guy to talk to.
There's a really, really super funny video on Funny or Die with him about healthcare in the United States, and he's like gotten mauled by a bear on the border of Canada and the United States. It's hilarious. You got to look that up.
Really?
Wow. Well, he is a very interesting guy. I talked to him for Killer Joe, which was an excellent movie.
Yes.
Wasn't the chicken scene? They're thinking of making
a TV
show.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey. Yep. So excellent
movie.
I
saw it. And what's the girl's name? She was like fully naked in that one.
Juno Temple.
Yeah, Juno Temple.
Yeah.
Oh, I could worship her.
Yeah, but she played a young girl.
What's so wrong about it.
Yeah. And she
how old is she? I thought she was in her
30s. Old. Yeah, well, yeah, she is, I think. I
mean, she played someone like 25?
Naked. Right.
Oh, younger than she was.
She played like a teenager.
Oh, wow. Even at 30. That's weird.
Yeah, well, that's what they do now.
I didn't see the movie.
Doesn't make
well,
any
she
sense.
Looks pretty young, so.
Yeah. But she's not in Lucky Them. This is just Toni Collette and Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
They're trying to find this long-lost rock god who also happens to be Toni Collette's character's ex-boyfriend. What'd you think of the trailer, Dave?
Well, as much as I like Thomas Hayden Church, I loved him totally in Sideways.
Yeah.
He was actually very good in Tombstone, too, if you remember one of his earlier movies.
Okay,
he got a start there. Phenomenal, especially Sideways. But my first thought when I was watching this trailer was, blah, 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 boring, boring, boring. Another woman meets man while searching for love.
So you'd give it a thumbs down, possibly?
Well, yeah, that's it just didn't look, as much as he's great, it just looked like a typical blah, 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 woman searching, woman is insecure.
And Toni Collette is also an excellent actress, if you ever see that, saw that movie where she played she was with Nia Vardalos.
Who?
Toni Collette.
Yeah.
She in a movie with Nia Vardalos where they played men being women being men or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, very weird.
Yeah, very weird. But yeah, Lucky Them's themes about living in the past versus letting said past lie is both contemplative and compelling. Unfortunately, the story never gathers enough steam. Yes, it is blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
Kind of boring.
All I need to do is see the trailers and have just a fraction of popcorn because the trailers only last a few minutes.
Yeah, and the characters are flimsy cliches. The only one of them who is even remotely likable is Thomas Hayden Church's Charlie, who adds much-needed personality to the entire ordeal. The conclusion's cameo. There's a really neat cameo at the end, which will surprise you, and the emotional depth draws us back in, but it's too little, too late. I'm giving Lucky Them a thumbs down, so I cannot recommend it.
Hey, I'm pretty intuitive on these trailers. Do you agree?
Yeah, you are. You're doing very well.
On the trailers.
We've got a lot of other movies that we'll talk about. But it is our Father's Day show, our Father's Day special. When it's a holiday, it's our special. Yes, on
you have
song,
five,
song
I
six.
Got six.
I know, I didn't catch up. I'm sorry. Song six. Song six is actually from another father type movie,
yeah.
Big Mama's Like Father, Like Son.
Don't know that.
You know the Temptations, though, right?
Oh, I do know the Temptations.
Was Papa a Rolling Stone?
Yeah, and the Rolling Stone was a Beatle.
And he gathered no moss.
Yes, and David Moss. Who's David Moss?
I don't know. Is that a name you just made up?
Yeah, no, I've heard it before.
Yeah. It's kind of a sad song, though.
Why is it a sad song?
He just, that was the day that my daddy died.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Usually that's country western. Let me see. I'm looking up David Moss because I know.
We can change it to country western. That was the day my daddy died.
Oh, of course. He's on the Phoenix Coyotes. David Moss.
Oh, that's where you heard of him.
Number, I forgot the number.
How could you have forgotten that?
I know. Well, you know, it's forgettable.
Wherever my dad laid his hat was his home.
Wow.
Hey, hi, Dad. He's listening right now. Happy Father's Day.
So that's your daddy.
No, not the Temptations.
Okay, anyway, but it is tempting. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633. Or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerum Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480 KPH.